Hi, and welcome to another edition of Jim on the Air. I'm Jim Suriani, your host. You're a host with the most. I'm contractually obligated to use that joke every single time. No, I'm not. But I need to find a better joke. Anyway, I'm Jim Suriani. This is Jim on the Air, and I'm very excited to chat with a couple of UCSB students this time around on the show. I have with me on the show Will Huffaker and Ronnie Ragone. They are third year students at UCSB, and we're going to talk about their plays that they've written for an evening called Doubles. And very excited to learn more about them and their plays and their writing process and how they come up with everything. By the way, Doubles will be one performance only, and there's four short plays on Sunday, January 23rd, 2 p.m. at the Studio Theater at UCSB. And tickets are free, but you do have to have proof of vaccination to attend the performance. And they are recommending if folks could also have negative COVID tests as well to provide. It's not required, but at least the vaccine is required for entry. But again, the tickets are free. The evening is called Doubles, and we're going to learn more about it. And it's on Sunday, January 23rd at the Studio Theater at UCSB. And we'll give that out throughout the show today. But I wanted to jump right in here and introduce my two guests. First, I have Will, as I mentioned, Will Huffaker, and he is an acting, he's a third year student in the acting BFA program. And then Ronnie Ragone, she is a double major, English and theater, with an emphasis on playwriting. And welcome to the show, Ronnie and Will. It's good to have you both with us.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you.
Hi. So, I'll just kind of go back and forth between the two of you. And Ronnie, I'll start with you. Tell me about your two plays. So you wrote two plays, one called My Barricade, and the other one is The Dulling of Teeth. Tell us a little bit about what the plot is for each of those two shows.
Sure. So My Barricade is about this guy who he's cutting his toenails and it's grossing his girlfriend out, and she's asking him to stop, and he's like, no, I'm almost done, I just got like the pinky left. And then she's like, okay, then I'm gonna leave. And so she starts leaving and he freaks out because he's like, no, I didn't mean for you to leave. So he stands up and then he slips and he hits his face on the sink counter, and his nose starts like gushing blood. And then she grabs like a tampon for him, and then and he's like, I'm a guy. And she's like, it's for your no-, like, get over it. But it's, and then he has this long monologue talking about how his nose is keeping him from enjoying the world around him and from being the best person that he can be and the best boyfriend that he can be. And it's just kind of a look at a person who knows they need to be better and who is trying but isn't quite there yet. And it's just I personally find that just a very human experience of knowing you need to do something better, yeah, but you can't quite get there, and saying that that's okay, that you're not there yet.
Right.
That one's more of a drama. And then The Dulling of Teeth, I would say, is more of a dark comedy. It's about a shark therapy group, and they are sharks living in a human world, and they have this support group because the humans aren't very nice to them. And so they're just trying to be there for one another. And, you know, they have their little crew, and they're hopefully able to help out another one a bit. But we'll find out if it actually works.
If they're able to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, Will, tell me about your two plays that you're doing.
So I think the first play that would be shown would be We Weary Children, which I know the title is a bit of a tongue twister, but it's also a play with animal characters. It's about three great apes, and so in the imagined setting, there's a council of great apes that decided to cut three species from the ranks because of just resources and time and effort. And So it just follows these three recently cut species of apes as they try and balance their emotions. Yeah.
Wow.
And in the other play, 100 Years in a Day, is I took the idea of a melodrama, the opening to a melodrama being a knock on the door, and then I did nothing else that was even remotely similar to a melodrama. But this character is just titled Me. Here's a knock at the door by this supernatural force, and every time that they open the door, they experience an earlier moment in their love life. So with each door, they get closer and closer to a first meeting.
Oh, wow, that's very interesting. And let me ask you, Will, since you're on my screen right now, what is your inspiration for writing in general, but in particular with these two plays? What inspired you to come up with the two premises?
Yeah, I mean, for as long as I've remembered, I just loved to tell good stories. And so if I can continue to do that for the rest of my life, I will keep trying to. And for these stories in particular, I'm a huge, huge animal nerd. Almost a little in your face about it sometimes. The idea for Wee Weary Children came out of like just my knowledge of all the different facets of the taxonomical structure of apes, and just the metaphor, the desire to be great, like the great and great ape, and almost taking that literally, and like what makes one thing great and one thing lesser, and how do we classify who's significant and who's not. And then for the other play, you know, I think I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic. Not hopeless, hopeful.
Yeah,
romantic. a romantic, to clarify. But I'm a sucker for a well-told love story.
In 100 Years and a Day, so you have the one character who's called Me, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other character is She, is that?
Yes.
And why did you come up with that as opposed to creating characters that had a normal name? What was the inspiration behind that?
You know, it almost felt like by giving the characters a name, I locked down a certain narrative that didn't need to be locked down. The character She on the other side of the door, every time the door is opened, in my mind, I know that the character, I believe the character to be the same person, but just about every other reader who's read it has felt that the character on the other side of the door is a new representation of a different person in Me's life, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
like every time it's a new woman, and I never saw it. I saw it as the same woman with each door opening, and I felt by giving that character a name, I pinned down the interpretation of the audience.
Yeah, no, I totally get that because. It, you know, if her name is Margaret versus, you know, Angela, you already have an idea of who that person is. You know what I mean? As an audience,
yeah.
you think certain names kind of fit certain, you know, like if you meet somebody and you're told that their name is Angela or Margaret or Audrey or whatever, you kind of go, oh yeah, they look like an Audrey. You know what I mean? So you're already... kind of putting the character into a compartment, into a box, and you don't want that. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, very much.
Right, right. And then, Ronnie, for your two plays, starting with My Barricade, tell us a little bit about your process for writing that one. Like, where did it start? You know, what, you know, the inspiration, and then how did the take us on the journey, if you will?
Sure. Yeah. Well, my brother and I get insane nosebleeds, especially in the winter time. Like, they last for so long, and they're the worst. And I feel bad because, and especially if, like, my family, you know, if we go to Colorado or Utah, my nose is just like a fire hydrant. It's disgusting. Oh,
That's a visual.
But I always felt really bad because my mom wanted to go do fun things and I was over here, you know, trying to clot up my nose. And I always felt bad because she was like, no, I'll stay with you and help you. And I was like, no, go, like, do things. And she'd be like, no, because she's a good mom, you know. And so I guess that was kind of the inspiration for the whole nose thing. But it originally started out as just a monologue that I had written about someone who was so fixated on their nose, they could not do anything else with their life. They couldn't appreciate the world and they couldn't be there for other people because of their nose. And then I kind of expanded from that because I was like, oh, I kind of like this and I think we should learn more about the world here. So I wrote a scene that goes before and a little chunk that goes after it, just kind of expanding that idea a bit.
Of having to deal with something like that, that's, you know, that it happens probably in an inappropriate place.
Yeah, you know, he was he was recognizing that he was being selfish, and in his attempt at fixing it, he is then more selfish. Not necessarily by his own fault, you know, he didn't intentionally do that, but his actions after he gets it kind of show that he was more worried about himself than.
Right. And then take us on the journey with The Dulling of Teeth. What was the inspiration behind that one?
So I have this folder on my phone of weird things I hear or weird ideas I get, where if at any point I'm like, oh my God, I don't know where I would put this, but I have an idea for it. And there was one time where I was driving to I transferred from a different college. I was driving to that one and I was like, oh my God, what if there was a shark who was sad that he wasn't invited to pool parties? You know, like that would suck. And I had that idea like, I don't know, like 3 years ago and I never used it. And then I was sitting on a couch in the green room at school and I started just kind of word vomiting. And then for some reason I thought about that sad shark who couldn't go.
Who wasn't invited to pool parties.
Yeah. And then it just kind of happened.
Yeah. And then but I find it interesting that both your The Dulling of Teeth and We Weary Children have animal themes. And will they be performed like side by side, or how is the evening structured actually? Do you know?
Yes, actually, so it's kind of I think it's like Will Mine. And we paired them. So doubles, you know, we're trying to lean into that theme a bit. So yeah. 100 Years in a Day, Will's piece, and My Barricade, my piece, they kind of go together because they're analyzing like romantic relationships and human nature. Okay. And then The Dulling of Teeth and We Weary Children are more like an animalistic kind of nature. And we both literally use animals in it, so we're doing right. Of both that we both wrote one and then two that go together, the kind of the doubles of that. And then we were just kind of joking when we were making the title that we both have red hair and we're both twins. And
oh, you are, you're both.
Yeah, both.
Oh, how twins. Fun. Well, that's it. I love that. So you just both happen to have twin siblings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's great. That's really cool. By the way, before I forget, you're listening to Jim on the Air, and I'm interviewing two third year students from UCSB, Will Huffaker and Ronnie Ragone. And their plays, their one act plays, will be performed one time only, Sunday, January 23rd, 2 p.m. at the Studio Theater at UCSB. And tickets are free, but you do have to have proof of vaccination to attend the performance. Again, it's called Doubles, and it's on Sunday, January 23rd, 2 p.m. at the Studio Theater at UCSB. So then a question for both of you, and I'll start with you, Ronnie. What's it been like to hear your play, hear the dialogue being spoken by other actors, or hearing it out loud as opposed to just, you know, reading it?
As a writer, it is so helpful to hear something out loud, because you get, you know, you can hear if it sounds a little off, or if you can hear if it sounds really nice, you know, because internally you might have a certain rhythm, or you might have a certain pace or something that you're going for, and then you hear it out loud and go, oh, maybe that's not what I was intending. And it's very helpful. My Barricade, I wrote that one about, I edited it recently, but I originally wrote it about 2 years ago, and I'd never heard it out loud. I had one friend who read it once, but I had never really showed it to many people, and it's the first time this one or my other one has been performed, but that one's a much newer piece of mine. So the first time I heard it, I was like, oh my God, like, that's kind of crazy.
I wrote that.
I did, yeah. And I found, you know, moments of humor that I hadn't really thought about before, and some moments that were maybe a little more serious that I didn't think were so poignant. So it's really cool when you get different, you know, different voices on things, because you can get all these different perspectives that you would never think about before.
Right. And then, Will, the same question for you. What has it been like for you to hear your words spoken by the actors?
Yeah, it's this is my first time really having that. I've never really shared my work for an actor to read. You know what? It shows you where your story doesn't make sense. Because I've got all these, I don't know, facts and story plot points that in my head, they all sew together because I know what I'm saying. And then you have people start reading it and they're like, I'm not following this. And it's like, how could you not? I know what I'm saying, so you should know what I'm saying. And so for the first time, I start to come to terms with, okay, maybe I can clarify some things, or maybe I'm hitting some ideas over the head, and I need to scale back and let the audience and the actors kind of understand it for themselves.
Right. And then for both of you, a question for both of you as well is, do you feel the urge or the need to constantly, that you want to keep rewriting or doing, you know, second draft, third draft, or whatever? Or do you feel that you get to a point where you're like, okay, this is finished? What is that like for you? Do you feel like you constantly want to either rewrite, or do you feel like you get to a point where it's finally done? And what is that like for you? We'll start with you, Will.
I do. Just about every play I write, like, I've got like 20 drafts, and the only difference from one draft to the next is that I changed the word jogged to ran. I mean, I go through and constantly just nitpick, and I'm like, oh man, I should have made that an ellipses. And I almost get paranoid. Like, I can't let that last draft go out without that comma that it needs to have.
It needed that exclamation point at the end.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just a period. And then, Ronnie, for you, how's that process been for you?
I'm very much like Will, in where I am just always wanting to edit, but I've truthfully been holding myself back from sending out new drafts all the time, of being like, oh, I changed it, and the actress being like, what did you change? Like, well, clearly it's different, you know? And I think with playwriting specifically, you're never done with it. You just kind of get to a point where you're like, I'm content with this, but there's always more that you could change, that you could nitpick. And I think that's with most kinds of art, you know, you're never finished with a play.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that happens a lot. And then we see that, you know, a lot of times when plays are revived on Broadway or what have you, they'll change it up a little bit from how it was produced the first time. Mm-hmm. Another question for both of you is, is this the first time you've had a play perform that you've written?
For me, yes.
I've been very lucky. I've had a fair amount produced before. I've had it in a few different states, which is cool. Last year, 2020, I guess, my brain has caught up. I had been commissioned by a theater to write this play, and then a college did it, and then a high school in New Jersey did it. So I've had some stuff around, which is, I'm very nice. Thankful for.
That's very cool. And then also a question for both of you. I'll start with you, Ronnie. What are some themes or what do you want to write about next, I guess is what I want to ask. Or do you have some ideas that you want to play around with?
I'm actually working on a full length right now that it's so far, it might change, but so far it's an absurdist realism piece. And I've written a few smaller absurdist piece before, but it's my first time writing a full length, that's one. So I've been having a lot of fun kind of diving into this really weird world that I've been trying to make.
Oh, nice. And then Will, for you?
Yeah, I think the biggest idea on my mind is that there was this scandal in 7th century BC Egypt where priests discovered that lower priests were, instead of mummifying animals, because you can mummify your animals to go with you into the afterlife, they were pretending to mummify animals. They were like putting vases and then making it look like an animal with stuffing and then wrapping those up. And it was this huge religious scandal. And I would to write a play about the mummification scandal.
The mummification scandal of... what year was
Yes, or I guess 600 BC. It was roughly when it started getting exposed for what it was.
Wow. And so you wanted to kind of write about that. Have you started writing about it, or where are you with that one?
I've had little bits of dialogue that I've written down. I think I'd like it to be about a baboon family who's so desperate to get one of their own mummified, because to get mummified, that's how you go to heaven. Right. Only for them to end up a vase.
To just be a vase.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I like that idea. Do you think it would be a comedy? Or?
Probably a dark comedy.
Dark comedy, yeah. And then Ronnie, for you, are there other themes that you thought about or other ideas that are swirling around?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's always stuff swirling around. I had this one act that I wrote a few years ago that had a couple productions, and I wanted to make that into a full length. That one's more of a, it's a drama, but I would like to think there's a lot of comedy throughout. So it's a lot, when I describe the premise, people are like, that's dark. And I'm like, I know, but it's funny. So like, it's okay.
Right.
And that one's about this kid whose father passes away unexpectedly. And his teacher's trying to comfort him. And she says like, oh, your dad's like Jesus. You know, he gave his life to save these people. And that's why he lost his life. And the kid had never been to church before or anything, and she gives him a Bible and he starts reading, and the play is about him waiting 3 days because he thinks his dad's gonna come back.
Oh, wow.
Which sounds very dark, and it is. However, there's a lot of comedy in there, so I think that helps bring it up a little bit. So I wanted to make that one into a full-length piece. And I had this other piece that I wrote called We're All Girls Here that's about a clown world and how it's improper to leave your house without a nose. And it's this person, Tubby, who hates wearing it and who doesn't like how they look with it, and her friend Flopsy is trying to be like, no, you're gonna get expelled if you don't wear this, you know. And it's kind of a self-exploration kind of thing, and she tries to go, she's in the bathroom and she takes her nose off, and her friends start freaking out. They're like, oh my god, what are you doing?
Oh, wow.
So I've been working on, I wrote that one a little bit ago, but I was like, oh, I kind of want to expand that one too. So right now, other than the full length I'm working on, I've just been focusing on revamping and expanding some older pieces I have, because I don't think I'm quite done with them yet.
Right, right. And then also a question for both of you. What are you hoping the audience takes away with them when they leave the theater after they see your plays? What are you hoping they take away from it? Whoever wants to jump in first.
I think for me, at least for my barricade, I'm hoping people leave with the fact that it's okay if you're not where you want to be yet. And, you know, we're never going to be we're always striving to be the best version of ourselves. But some days it's not going to look as good as other days. And that's okay, you know, and just kind of learning to step outside of yourself a little bit in order to live your life and not. I think that's a big thing for me, is I get so fixated on things I'm doing and I'm like, oh my god, I'm not doing this right, and then I'm like, oh, but I could just go have a nice lunch with my mom or something, you know. So I think just learning to appreciate yourself for where you're at and moving forward. And then for the dulling of teeth, I hope people have fun with that one, and just kind of a learning to support those who may be a little bit different than you, whether they're sharks or not.
Right. Oh, I like that. And then Will, how about for you? What are you hoping people take away from your shows?
You know, I never. If I like try and start with a takeaway, when I write, I almost feel like I become constrained to this theme or this message, and I feel like I don't explore. But if I had to say, I there's this foreword in that the playwright Aaron Posner writes before one of his plays. I'm not sure I can say the title, but it's a very beautiful play. And he said, in any situation, if you can't figure it out, choose love, choose the side of love. And I feel like, I think that I can't put it any better than that. If the audience can take away anything from my plays, I'd like to think that given the situation, given a choice, choose love.
Oh, that's very good. No, I like that. And that's for the 100 years in a day?
Yeah.
Okay. And then
I guess it's for We Weary Children a little bit too.
Okay.
I guess for We Weary, maybe... if people could start caring about the environment a little more, that might be nice.
Right.
That might be nice in addition.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And if at least it sparks a thought of, you know, as they're leaving the theater kind of a thing. And then for both of you too, what's next then after you're both third year students? What are you hoping to do once you graduate? Okay. Oh wait, did we have to do something after we graduate?
I'm hoping to go to grad school. I'm not quite sure where yet. I have a couple places on the list, but I'm hoping to do that for playwriting. Yeah,
for playwriting. And then Will, how about was that a difficult question.
That is a very loaded question.
Well, and I think it is for a lot of people. I mean, you know, I remember when I graduated from, you know, high school and college, I was like, oh, now what? Oh, wait, we don't keep doing this?
Yeah, I feel like with every new stage, I've always got kind of that now what syndrome. Right. And I think, you know, I think I'm going to try my hand at professional acting, and on stage. I'm not sure yet where I'd want to live, but let's go for it.
If you want to maybe do the LA thing or the New York thing or maybe a combination of two.
Yeah. I'm not sure what kind of scene or setting just yet. I think I'll have a little bit of a better idea this time next year.
Well, it's kind of
hard.
Maybe
I'm just saying that to comfort myself.
But I can't imagine for you guys having to go to college through the pandemic and dealing with that and wondering, you know, are we even going to be able to continue to gather in the theater? Can we go see a movie? Is that still going to be, you know, I'm sure, does that play a lot in your heads for both of you? Does the pandemic kind of weigh down a little bit on your thought, on your process for figuring out what you're going to do next?
I mean, I think definitely. But I think the thing is, theater people are not people who give up very easily, and I think maybe even to a fault sometimes.
That's true. I think you're right about that.
You know, very much show must go on. You know, like, maybe it's okay if the show doesn't go on, but they're like, no,
the show must go on, but does it?
Does it? Yeah, no.
Does it have to?
Yeah. And I think artists, whether it be theater or music or whatever medium, will always find a way to produce their art and to share stories. And I think the root of being a storyteller or a playwright or an actor or whatever it may be, is that you're a storyteller. And I think Will was kind of touching on that earlier. And, you know, I love Will. Will's a wonderful, wonderful storyteller. And even in our little conversations, he'll find ways to entertain me, even if he doesn't really know it. So whether it be just sharing stories between friends, like Will and I do when he calls me at midnight, or
are you up?
Literally, yeah. Or whether it be us on a stage, not me on a stage, Will on a stage and me throwing words up there. I think no matter what happens, hopefully things get better, but knock on wood, we will always find a way to tell stories in whatever way we can find.
I think you're right about that, because I think and given that we have, you know, 100 years ago when it was the Spanish flu, they had so many fewer resources, but now we have so much, you know, between doing theater on Zoom or doing it outdoors and in an open space. I mean, you don't have to do theater in a proscenium. It could be anywhere. And we have so many resources for figuring out how to do that. I agree with you. I think that storytelling is always going to exist no matter what. There's always going to be a way to be able to tell the story. And then let's see, is there, real quick, for, you know, in case anybody forgot and you wanted to go get your pen, the show is called Doubles, and it's going to be Sunday, January 23rd at the Studio Theater at UCSB. So grab your pen, write this down. Doubles, Sunday, January 23rd, 2 p.m. at UCSB in the Studio Theater. And the four plays are My Barricade, 100 Years and a Day, We Weary Children, and The Dulling of Teeth. And those four plays were written by both Ronnie and Will. And is there anything else that you want folks to know about the plays before we go?
We have our trusty leader, Vicky Scott, who she's in charge of new and reimagined works. And I don't know what I would do without without them. I appreciate her so much. But other than Vicky, it's mostly student run. We have student designers, we have student directors, all our actors are, you know, students. And then Will and I wrote the pieces. And so it's just kind of a fun project that we've all been working on that I'm pretty excited about.
Yes, and we should just to kind of echo what you were saying, Vicky Scott, who is she started the new and reimagined works initiative. it's wonderful that that her initiative is going to be behind producing the shows and getting them up and running, and I think it's great that it's pretty much all students that are producing it. And then Will, what did you want to add to that as well?
I'm just really grateful for everyone who's helped. A lot of people have put in a lot of time, particularly Ronnie, who really made this whole thing happen, because we were just standing there one day saying, I wish we had this opportunity to do this thing, and they were just like, then let's do it. Yeah. And within 5 minutes, we made it happen. We walked up to Vicky's office and Vicky was like, just tell me when and we'll make it happen. And nice. There have been bumps in the road, but I guess we're lucky to have been able to make it this far, and everyone still be on board.
Nice. Very cool. I want to wish, Ronnie, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I just wanted to give a little shout out to Trinity Wickland, who is our stage manager. She's a second year, but you wouldn't think that. She's incredible, and she's really helped us smooth out those bumps Will was talking about.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to say a big thank you to her, because she's my rock. I don't know what I'd do without her.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Anybody else we want to give shout outs to before we go?
Will's great.
I'd say the same about Ronnie.
Nice. Well, I just want to wish you both continued success in whatever careers you choose once you leave school, and break legs with the four plays, and I guess I can say that now figuratively. Continued success with your writing careers and acting careers, and hopefully we'll see more of the two of you later down the road. I want to be able to say I interviewed them when they were starting and now they're getting an Oscar for their screenplay. No, I don't know. is that in the future? Are awards in the future?
I mean, it would be nice.
Well, yeah.
I won't complain if I do get one.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want this. I don't, you know, who is it? Is it some of the screenwriters out there who don't go to the award shows because it's beneath them? I can't think of it.
I think it's nice to be recognized.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's
their own.
Exactly. Why not? It's good to be recognized. Absolutely. And well, again, I just want to wish you both good luck with the shows, with the one acts. And again, it's the evening is called Doubles. It's Sunday, January 23rd, 2 p.m. at UCSB Studio Theater. And the tickets are free, but you do have to have proof of vaccination. And they would like to also encourage everybody to have, if you can, have a negative COVID test taken, maybe a day or two before you attend the performance. It's not required, but if you could do that as well, just to kind of, in an abundance of caution, just to kind of keep everybody safe. But again, it's free. You just have to have proof of vaccination. And it's called Doubles, Sunday, January 23rd, 2 p.m. at the Studio Theater at UCSB. And Ronnie and Will, I want to thank you both for joining me today on the show, and continued success with all of your endeavors and future adventures. And thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure. And again, it's called Doubles. Go check it out. It's at UCSB in the Studio Theater. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.